It feels expansive. The whole body comes alive. There's a safety, a softening. There's an ecstasy, right? Which is none of those words I've used are orgasmic, you know, where like, and all, you know, orgasms are great, don't get me wrong, but we can have orgasms in, you know, like a drunken fumble. We're just like rubbing up on each other, just, you know, barely really present with the other person or having much concern for their needs or whatever. We're just getting an orgasm, right? And then we can be in this space where we can fully drop in. We feel safe to be seen. We can release those masks. We don't have to put on a performance. You know, we feel our heart opening. We feel connected with the other. You know, every touch feels like electrifying pleasure, and there may not be an orgasm, but there's something like deeply satisfying about one over the other.
Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. All right, today we are talking with Amy from Temple of the Goddess. Just kidding. Temple of the Feminine. And I am so excited to talk with you about conscious sex. This is an area that, you know, I am more familiar, like getting barely introduced to. And I'm very intrigued by what conscious sex really looks like. So I'd love for you to kind of just start by telling us a little bit about yourself and what is conscious sex?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm Amy, as you know. And I'm the founder of Temple of the Feminine, which is kind of my brand, my platform, my work, my body of work. And my expertise is in female sexuality, right? And on a holistic level. So looking at female sexuality on mind, body, and spirit level. And my work came through from being on my own spiritual journey and realizing that sex and sexuality were really not included in a lot of spiritual practices and approaches. And then I had an experience, a Kundalini awakening experience that woke up a lot of sexual energy in me and kind of propelled me on this journey to explore sex as a spiritual practice, as a self-growth practice, as a consciousness practice. And then that's what I now do as my work. So, I mean, the question around what conscious sex is, I think, you know, we just apply that the general understanding of consciousness to sex. Consciousness meaning becoming aware, right? I like to always think of it as a waking up, an awakening to something. So a lot of our lives, like 90% of our day, is lived or carried out through the unconscious, right? So we're not really aware of it. It's the unconscious is the pre-programmed, the conditioning, the automatic, right? And it's really great. Both things are really great. The unconscious is really great because it allows us to get in the car and drive to where we need to go without thinking about it. It allows us to really retain that memory. Where unconsciousness can hold us back is where we learn things that are not useful or not expansive, and they become programmed within us or conditioned within us, often without us even knowing it, not even choosing it. They become sort of imprinted on us through our culture, through our society, through our upbringing, our parents, our peers. And what I found is like a lot of people's relationship with sex is being played out in the unconscious. And like these imprints from society that demonize sex, have disconnected sex from the sacred, have demonized female sexuality and really just not understood female sexuality. So conscious sex is really like saying, I'm going to look at everything that I thought I knew about sex and really decide if that resonates for me, if that makes sense for me in my body and my journey. And then learning some tools to become more aware of your own relationship to sexuality and pleasure and your body. So for me, conscious sex is almost like taking your sex life and your relationship to sexuality and like going through it with a fine tooth comb and being like, is this really true to me? Like, is this really how I want to be expressed sexually? Like, what does sex actually mean to me? What does it mean to be a sexual being? Are there stories in there? Are there ways that I'm showing up as a sexual being? Are there ways that sex is happening in my relating that don't serve me, that don't feel good for me. And what do I want? Right. And so that's like bringing it, like asking these questions just starts to bring it into the consciousness. And then looking at like how we act out in sex, because it's like a playground for our unconsciousness, right? And so, yeah, conscious sex just allows us to start using sex as well as like a tool for wellness, right? Like our sexuality is part of our wellness. It's also a great area of growth if you're into personal growth, because there's so much there that's like riding under in the subconscious. And it's also a tool for spiritual connection as well. So yeah, conscious sex encapsulates all of that and just brings it out of the shadows and allows us to start looking at our relationship to sexuality and allowing you to make it something that feels good for you.
I love that. And I love, you know, it's really just staying curious about yourself and your body and what you really like. And with conscious sex, like that's going to continue to change over time too. You know, what you like today, I've talked about this millions of times on the podcast, may not be what you like tomorrow or in 5 years or in 10 years. And so continuing to stay conscious and allow your body to guide you towards what pleasure really looks like and what you actually want.
Yeah. And it's like, it just allows you to be open and allows that kind of exploration that perhaps, you know, when we're in our default modes around sexuality, it can feel like this is it. That's all that's there. And there's so much more that's available when we just kind of start looking, you know, turning our awareness inwards and looking at our relationship to sexuality. Sometimes it can be realizing we're not actually enjoying any of the ways that we're expressing ourselves sexually, right? and I find, you know, some clients will be like, sex isn't for me. And I'm like, no, the way that you have been taught that sex should be is not for you. But I'm pretty sure there's a way of connecting to sexuality that is for you that just hasn't been modeled and represented to you.
And there's so many different ways to do sex. Like,
yeah,
you know, in school, we're taught like it's P and the V, penetration yeah. only, this is sex. But there are so many other ways to receive pleasure that doesn't involve penetration at all. And, you know, obviously is not a heteronormative situation, even though that's what we are taught sex looks like.
Yeah. And, you know, when I speak to my clients and from my own experience as well, like a lot of women, penis in the vagina is the least pleasurable part of the sex act, right? But in heteronormative context, it's like that tends to be where the male drives towards. And for the female, it's like that's the kind of the least orgasmic or like pleasure filled part of sex, right? But we have this idea that, you know, I think everyone, when we think sex, will think, oh, you know, something's inserted somewhere, right?
Absolutely. And I think that it's so hard to retrain or reprogram our brains to count oral sex as a form of sex and that it's not something else that doesn't count as sex.
Absolutely. I always say like oral sex is not foreplay. Like oral sex is sex, right? It's like and when you understand like the female arousal body and the kind of like layers that we tend to need to get to feel open enough for sex, oral sex is like a really intense, like deep, connected practice. It's not like it's not the warm up for sex. It's as intimate, as deep. There needs to be other things that kind of like drop the body in and warm the body up and open the body up than oral sex, right? Oral sex is like a really, yeah, like it's, you're there, right? You're deep into the, you know, your intimate connection at that stage.
You brought up Kundalini awakening. I would love for you to tell us a little bit about like what that means and what is like the Kundalini. I don't even know if I'm saying it totally correct.
Yeah. So Kundalini. So I learned about Kundalini when I was in India and I trained as a Kundalini Tantra yoga teacher. And that's where I had the awakening. So Kundalini is known in what the Hindu tantric tradition that I learned in and a lot of Eastern philosophies as it's a form of life force energy. So it's our kind of like vitality energy that's located at the base of the spine. And the symbolism of this energy is like a coiled up snake or a serpent, right? And so it lays dormant in its sleep. And then when it starts to awaken, it starts to kind of unravel and unspiral at the base of the spine and make its way up the spine through what's known as the chakra system, which are the energy centers of the body. And as it starts to make its way up and through the different chakras, each energy center chakra represents different qualities of life and like necessary qualities for us to access, but also challenges when they're out of balance or blocked. And so as this energy starts to awaken, it's like an intelligence that works through the body and starts to heal or dislodge and unblock what's stuck there. So it goes, you know, as you start to work with the Kundalini energy, it can bring a lot of stuff up. It's very much an energy that brings the unconscious to the conscious as well.
That's so fascinating. I love that. So how do you create more conscious sex when we are living in a world where so often we're not having conscious sex?
Yeah. So it always starts with the relationship to yourself, right? And just taking that time to get to know yourself, right? Get to know what you like, what you dislike, just even sort of stopping and reflecting, you know, on hearing this podcast and noticing what your kind of default behaviors are in sex, right? And are they serving you? Are they what you want to be having? What are you not asking for? What are you not saying in the bedroom or in your partnership, right? But also exploring your own body and your own pleasure and, you know, read up on some things. Feel free to go onto my page and my blog post to find those tools of how to explore, because sometimes it can be, the question can be, well, where do I start? How do I even do this, right? And there are tools and practices that can support you, right? Because it can support you in creating new habits and new areas of exploration. Because, you know, we'll probably be reaching this stage of wanting to, you know, have better sex or more conscious sex at a time where we've got very well ingrained neural pathways and practices to pleasure and orgasm and sex and intimacy, right? Particularly in long-term partnerships, there can definitely be a very well-known way of being together. And, you know, you might be thinking, well, how do I break that? I don't even know where to start. This is the only path we know, right? So, you know, research some different ways of exploring, like some tips on like how to connect in different ways, how to explore in different ways. Start to expand your definitions of sex and intimacy, right? To include it all, because also we can get so hung up on sex. And as we said, it can be in the heteronormative, particularly relationships like this penis in vagina. It actually becomes not that intimate, right? Because we're kind of like missing out on all the beautiful things that all the other ways we can connect with our partner, all the ways our bodies can experience pleasure with each other. You know, sometimes the most intimate thing is just to be really honest about how we're feeling, right? So creating a relationship with your body. And what I mean by that is, yes, the physical part of your body and the pleasure that it brings and what likes to be touched where, but also your emotions, right? What are you feeling? What's the truth of what's happening for you during sex and intimacy, right? And that's a really great way of getting to know yourself better and understanding who you are in this sexual space, right? There can also be a bit of a demasking, like taking off the masks, right? Sometimes we'll become, you know, be in a sexual space and we, you know, have been taught to, you know, pretend that we're having more pleasure than we actually are, because we want to look after our partner's feelings and we don't want to kind of admit that actually it's not really working for us. And, you know, there's something really intimate about disclosing that with your partner, because it's taking off a mask and it's showing some vulnerable truths inside you that is ultimately going to pave way for deeper pleasure and more intimacy.
Yeah. And when you share those vulnerable parts of yourself, it does create more intimacy in the relationship. And, you know, it creates kind of that safe space to share as well when you continually have conversations about what's working for both of you and what isn't working for both of you.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you can go deeper and share, you know, the fears around sharing, right? You know, the fear of losing, upsetting one another or losing one another. And I think there's something very relatable and something where that we can connect into when we hear another person or a partner share the reasons why they don't speak up or the reasons why they may pretend that they're feeling X when they're really feeling Y. You know, because it all comes from a desire to be in connection.
Yeah. You brought up better sex, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. Is if better sex is part of conscious sex, or like, does conscious sex make sex better, or are they separate?
Yeah. And I'm pleased you said that, because when you reflected that, I thought, did I say that? And yeah, I did. And it's not my favorite phrase to use. And so it deserves some unpacking, because yeah, what does better sex mean, right? And the way that I work with my clients is to really center their experience of better sex. Like, what people want from sex is going to differ, and differ for different people and at different times, and the same people at different times, right? So I guess better could be replaced for more fulfilling, more connected, right? And that may be more pleasure, that may be more honesty, that may be sometimes like less frequent, but the quality feels more vast. But it really depends on what each individual feels. But I think better could be replaced for fulfilling. And I believe that conscious sex is, it may not from an outset be what the default brain wants, because I suppose when I say more fulfilling, I guess, you know, a lot of people would be thinking more orgasms, more pleasure. But conscious sex doesn't actually, the two things are not mutually exclusive. Conscious sex and more orgasms and pleasure, you know, that's not the goal, and they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. But what you're going to get is you're going to go into a more authentic and intimate sexual space, which then paves the way, creates the space for more orgasms and pleasure. With conscious sex, one of the huge parts is, you know, calling yourself out on what it is you truly want from sex, right? And, you know, because when I think about my body and I think about, you know, the women's bodies that I work with, you know, we can get more orgasms from like more friction, you know, more visual stimulation, but sometimes that can just take us away from what we're really, really craving. And it's like heart connection and, you know, deep, long evenings spent like gazing into each other's eyes, feeling each other, which isn't all about orgasms, right? But it creates a deeper connection that maybe a lot of people are craving for, that would constitute that satisfying, that fulfilling sex.
Yeah. And it just creates so much intimacy. Like,
yeah.
And there is a totally different experience and feeling for that type of intimacy rather than just having sex. Like, there, it's just different. And when you experience it, I don't know how to explain it other than like, you know, like, yeah, you know that you experienced something different, and that's it.
Yeah, it feels expansive. The whole body comes alive. There's a safety, a softening. There's an ecstasy, right? Which is, none of those words I've used are orgasmic, you know, where like, and all, you know, orgasms are great, don't get me wrong, but we can have orgasms in, you know, like a drunken fumble. We're just like rubbing up on each other, just, you know, barely really present with the other person or having much concern for their needs or whatever. We're just getting an orgasm, right? And then we can be in this space where we can fully drop in. We feel safe to be seen. We can release those masks. We don't have to put on a performance. You know, we feel our heart opening. We feel connected with the other. You know, every touch feels like electrifying pleasure. And there may not be an orgasm, but there's something like deeply satisfying about one over the other.
Are you ready to start understanding yourself better, learning and recognizing your patterns, and really develop a relationship with yourself. If this sounds like you, the Unleashing My Power, a Women's Empowerment and Gratitude Journal is for you. This journal was specifically curated for women just like you to help you take back your power and develop and go to the next level in life. My friend Danielle and I created this journal because of our own experiences and what we were looking for in a daily practice to improve our connection to self and really become connected with ourselves. This is game-changing, and the feedback that we are getting from other women who have started using this journal is absolutely amazing. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to jordandanelle.com/journal, and it'll take you right there. I hope you enjoy. Be sure to go snag yours right away and leave me a review. Tell us what you think about it. Slide in the DMs. I know that your life will change when you start using this journal. One of my most pleasurable sexual experiences, there was no orgasm, and it was still the most connected, like, best experience.
Yeah.
So if a listener is listening and they're in a relationship and they're desiring to start having more conscious sex, maybe they've been together for a while or whatever that looks like, how do you communicate that desire with your partner?
So I would carve out some time for that, right? So like set the intention that we're going to have an evening of communicating first and foremost, and communicate outside of the sexual space, because it's very easy to get caught up in, you want that conversation to be clear. Like you want to be in a more grounded space, not in a heightened sexual space, but where you can just communicate with each other, hear each other and listen, and you don't have ulterior motives. You're not in a super vulnerable and open space, and you can stay with the intention of the conversation. So set a night, an evening apart for this, aside for this, or an afternoon, whatever works for you. And yeah, really give yourself time to speak about it. Like, you know, create a bit of a structure to the conversation. You can start, it's always good to start with the positives, what's working, what you really enjoy, what you'd like more of, any of your own fears or things that you're bringing that you want to kind of leave behind or work through, and see it as a team effort. Like you're in it together, you're doing it together, right? Yeah, that would be my advice, starting with talking, conversating.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, when it comes to anything, relationships or sexuality, all of that, it all comes down to having more conversations and open lines of communication. And I feel like that's one of those things that so many of us struggle with because we just aren't taught how to communicate. And we talk about this all the time on the podcast too, because it's a crucial part of a relationship. Yet it can be very scary and very challenging to do.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it comes back to that part where I said about the relationship to the body, right? And I spoke about the physical body and then the emotions, but also the nervous system. So when we want to have a conversation like this, it can feel so terrifying, or, you know, we can be feeling so many feelings that we will avoid it, right? Or go against it, or feel defensive when we're in it, right? And what's happening is just something's getting activated in the nervous system. And the more you can kind of be in relationship with your body and hold yourself and hold your capacity to feel feelings whilst having this conversation, but stay in connection, the easier these conversations get, right? So like really having some compassion for yourself as you go into this, be gentle with yourself. Give yourself that space and that time and that grounding to be in the conversation. That's why, like, just bringing it up randomly over, like springing it on a partner is not a good decision. Letting yourself be grounded in it and have that space to communicate is the best way forward.
I love that. I tell a lot of my partners to create like a relationship roundtable discussion consistently. And so that you're always having that open communication and you're able to bring things up in that container and you know that you have that container always to bring things up. You know, like every Sunday at noon, this is what we do. And so your body just knows to expect that. And you know that you can have these conversations there.
Yeah. And being able to listen to each other and let one another really speak their truth without receiving any negative feedback or reaction, right? Like if we can really welcome our partner's truth, it gives them like this positive feedback loop, which says, oh, it's actually safe for me to speak my truth into the space.
Yes. So what are some of the benefits of having more conscious sex? I know we kind of talked about a couple of them, but I would love for you to run through those with me.
Yeah, I would say like a deeper connection to your partner, right? Deeper intimacy and just authenticity, allowing yourself to be yourself in sex, right? And, you know, it does create deeper pathways for pleasure and orgasmic experience and, you know, that ecstasy or that sort of transcendental connected sexual experience. It's also a real good window or mirror for your personal growth, right? To really show you parts of yourself that, you know, that maybe have been dormant, have been left behind, you know, parts of yourself that are dying to be expressed. I could just see like your images, Jordan, behind you. And I just see the one that when I look to it, it's on my left, but it's like the woman and she's the one that's her back is like arched. Yeah. And I just think, you know, like there's like really expressive parts of you in your sexual repertoire, like in your, you know, who you are as a sexual being is vast and diverse. And there's a lot available to you. And if you're only really operating like in one fractal, that's like a lot of you that's not being seen in this world and that's not being actualized in this world. So for those that are into sort of personal development and spiritual development, like sexuality is such a necessary part of you to start getting conscious about, start becoming aware of, and start bringing all those parts of you out of the shadows, because there's nothing to be ashamed of. Like all these parts of you are so primal, so natural, so divine, you know, and it's just like the density of our human world that have shamed them and locked them down. And, you know, we could go into all the where this has all come from, this shame, but, you know, it's just the most natural part of your human existence. Every one of us came through, every one of us was born through an orgasm. Someone had to have an orgasm for us to be here. And so it's so wild that it's yet still like the most taboo and kind of not talked about and judged parts of our humanness. But it's like our power, it's our creativity, it's our aliveness. And yeah, the benefits are just vast. It's too much of you. Sex is too much a part of you for it to just to go undiscovered, just to be getting played out by the default programs of a repressed, sexually repressed society.
And I love that you brought up self-development and that it is so important. And the way that we treat sex and our views of sex and all of that has an impact on every other area of our life as well. And so the more open and explorative and curious and expansive you are, that's going to just overflow into your everyday life. And so sex is self-development, especially like conscious sex or, you know, these types of tools and techniques to expand your sexuality are self-development. So I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, for those people that maybe don't have partners, how do you create conscious sex on your own?
I mean, this is really where like where my heart is at the moment, because it really does start in your relationship to self. And, you know, a lot of from the outset, you may feel like, oh, I don't have a partner, so this work isn't for me. But it's like, this is exactly the time when you should be doing it. Because when we think about like those subconscious ways of behaving, when we have a partner, for all the will in the world, we're going to be worried about what they think of us. You know, if we're upsetting them, we're going to be, you know, naturally feel responsible for their feelings in our sexual expression. So, and that doesn't mean we can't do the work in partnership, absolutely. But there's just another layer that comes to doing this work when you've got someone else, you know, in front of you, you know, and you want to kind of like bring out this part they've never seen, and you're worried, like, would your biggest fears come true and they really reject that part of you, right? When you're on your own, you don't have to worry about any of that, right? So I would really start to develop an expansive self-pleasure practice, right? That includes like a meditative approach, your full body, engaging all of the senses. I've got so much around creating a self-pleasure practice on my channels if you want to dive into that. And start to explore what's possible with your own pleasure and sexual energy, using just a few key tools to start expanding the way you meet your body. Let go of any old habitual ways you've learned to orgasm or to masturbate, and start to create a whole new way of meeting yourself with deep love. And I'm speaking about that around self-pleasure, self-touch. But as I share that as well, I mean, like, let's expand that out, like meet yourself in all areas of life, like your favorite lover, like you would want your best lover to meet you, right? From the off, buying yourself flowers, you know, taking yourself out on dates, you know, looking after yourself when you're feeling sick or feeling down, rather than judging yourself or berating yourself or running those critical stories, like completely meet yourself as though you were your lover.
Well, and at the end of the day, our love for ourselves is what persists. And yeah. So pouring into ourselves is so important. As a single woman, I hear all of this, and yes, like I love this. And it's so true. Like, you will be able to call in the partner that you want better the more you love yourself.
Yeah. And I, you know, that really rings true. And I remember when I first sort of started manifestation work, and I would hear that, and I would sort of like, my mind would go to like this esoteric view of like, well, if I treat myself like this, the outside is going to mirror my inside. But if you just get really real with it, right? If I'm looking after myself, taking care of myself, I'm saying nice things about myself in my head, and then I go and date someone, and they say some like quite cutting, not like, you know, they're a bit insulting or a bit like negging or a bit, you know, not speaking in that way or treating me in that way, it's just going to feel so starkly like non-resonant. It's going to kind of feel like, oh, hold on, you know, that's not how we do things here, right? And it's just not going to resonate. If I've already got a very critical negative self-talk in my head, and then I go and date someone who kind of reflects that, I am going to think, oh, they're right, because I think that too. And so I'm wrong here, and I need to fix that to be in this connection. Whereas if you're already like treat yourself really well, and then somebody doesn't treat you well, it's going to be like, that just doesn't meet me. You know, like, I don't know what your problem is, but that's not for me. So when you do pour in, your sense of what you should be treated like shifts, and anything that doesn't meet that falls away.
That's so beautiful. And, you know, I think of so many women that I know, myself included, where there have been times where exactly that has happened. And, you know, then turning to ourselves and learning to re-love ourselves and pour into ourselves and give to ourselves has, you know, kind of the trajectory after that. But yeah, like, that's very common, and taking care of ourselves is so important.
Yeah.
So one last question for you before we wrap up. How would you define pleasure?
That's such a good question. I don't know if I've ever been asked it before. So I would define pleasure as an engagement of the senses, one or all of them, in a way that allows you to completely soften and come alive and feel good in your body.
Ooh, yes. I was just thinking about how I want to start ending all of my podcasts, and I think that's the question, because pleasure is the root of this. It's not sex. It's not orgasms. It's pleasure in everyday life and in everything that you do. So thank you for answering that. That's such a beautiful answer. And it has been a pleasure talking with you, Amy. I would love for you to share where the listeners can find you at so that they can come follow you.
Yes, please do. I am at Temple of the Feminine on Instagram and my website, www.templeofthefeminine.com. Yeah, please come and find me.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.